This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob. Russell Wilson has won. What do you want to call it? C-level game, average game, maybe a little below average. And I've my mailbag here is littered with complaints and wonderings. You know, the first question I get, Russell Wilson, 14.5 QBR last game. I don't even know what QBR is. 43 for the season. Fields, 53 QBR. Russ, 4 for 11. Fields, 8 for 11 in the red zone. Why no more talk about Russ's poor play? I don't think Russ is playing poor. I think he's coming off an off game. However, if you want to go with red zone, strictly with red zone, especially when they get deeper in the red zone, I don't mind the idea of Justin Fields taking more snaps. Here's another tweet, and I'll throw it to you, Bob. Alan Saunders, you know him, right?
Yes, does a very good job.
Very nice man. Tweeted these numbers this morning. Both Justin Fields and Russ have led 11 drives inside the opponent's 10. Wilson, 4 TDs, 5 field goals, 3.9 points a drive. Fields, 8 TDs, 1 field goal, 5.4 points per drive. Bob, I don't have a problem really with the play calling the other day. I didn't. They tried Najee after he ran him down there. They gave him the ball again and again a couple times. Didn't work. They threw some 50-50s to Pickens. Didn't work. I think adding, and they're bottom five in the league in red zone efficiency. I think adding Fields for some snaps, especially deep in the red zone, is a good idea. You?
Yes, I do. And we saw it at the end of the game. What happened when they needed to get first down yardage? They brought him into the game. It was Harris who actually got the yard to put it out of reach, and the clock kept ticking. But it was Fields who got the first down, slid a little prematurely. That's always a tough, dicey thing for a quarterback when you know that yardstick is somewhere, but you're not exactly sure. But yeah, why wouldn't you? And you don't even have to utilize him for him to be effective. You know, he's one of those guys, he's in there, so they have to account for him.
Yeah.
And if as long as that happens, you can do different things. I'm sure they have packages for it. We saw the first time on Sunday. I would be inclined to say you're going to see a lot more moving forward. When I say a lot more, you know, not 20, 30 snaps a game. I'm talking about in certain situations.
Is red zone one of them?
Sure, why wouldn't it be? But I also think they need to take advantage of, you know, Freiermuth in the red zone. He's been, I don't know if it's just ignored, overlooked, whatever the case, not open. I'd have to look deeper into that. But Pat Freiermuth is a good red zone target, I think.
Funny you should mention that, Bob, because I also got a question, a couple of them, about Freiermuth. And here's the one I got. One person said, when are we going to admit he's just not that good? This guy says Joel is his name. Can we officially begin the discussion of that Pat Freiermuth is not good? I'm sure the underutilized crowd will call foul. Basic math suggests this being an overpaid player who doesn't make a difference. He says, full disclosure, I don't root on Pitt and went to Michigan State. I think in the end, this guy's actually right if we're going average, good, great. I would put Freiermuth somewhere between average and good. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't be utilized more. I still think he can do more things for this offense. When he makes a play, it usually seems like it's a pretty important play. But this also leads to this question, Bob. Middle of the field. What is happening? Why don't they utilize
it?
They did on the throw to Mount Washington, but why not
twice
more?
Twice to him, but not more. And I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about crossing patterns over the middle. The only way you get, to me, Calvin Austin more involved is by those kinds of plays. If he's going to be in there, you know, let him do some little slant, get him the ball, and watch him go. Dallas's touchdown last night was the exact play that I was thinking of. But they've got to utilize it. Plus, if you're not going to, it makes it a little easier. One of the reasons why I think Baltimore's defense had an easier time than they have been is because they have not used that part of the field as much as they should. That's just my opinion watching these games. I'm sure you feel the same way because you don't see it very often. When do you see George Pickens cut across the middle? We did last year a couple of times, and then he turns on the jets and runs and gets to the end zone. Not just down the sideline throws. It's got to be more than that.
A little bit. He had the one in D.C. where he was running like a gazelle. Remember that one?
Yeah, but not enough.
Not enough. And the Ravens were vulnerable in the middle of the field. Limits, do you want to see more fields in the red zone? And what about number 88?
I do. And I mean, Freiermuth as well. It seems like we're seeing Darnell Washington more and more, which I'm okay with, but not at the expense of Pat Freiermuth. I want to see him utilized more over the middle of the field because he's got more explosion than Washington. They could use him in similar packages. But Fields, yeah, why not? Because some of the best weapons that the Steelers had in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone was Justin Fields' legs and faking out defenses on read options. And they're not being able to plunge it in from the 5-yard line in, even from the 10-15. So, yes, utilize him.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you, in the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Kind of on that topic, but not really, comes this question, Bob. I just saw it. I didn't want to forget it, so I'm going to ask you it. His name is Ed. I call him Mr. Ed. In your opinion, which Harbaugh brother is the better NFL head coach?
Well, I mean, based on just the limited sample size with Jim, I still have to say John at this point, just because he's had, not recently, but had success in the postseason. I also think that he's been very much like Mike Tomlin in that those guys are constantly competitive in there. The one thing that Harbaugh, though, hasn't done is beat his rival on a consistent basis. Tomlin has. The one thing that Harbaugh hasn't done recently with the 2-time MVP has gone deep into the playoffs. They did last year, and then they still lost. So kind of similar, but I guess at this point, because I have more of a multiple-year sample size with John, I'd have to say John. But Jim, I think he's turning the Chargers into the kind of team that could win big. They have the quarterback, and they're playing a real good brand of defense, which is what his calling card is.
I mean, John has the better resume at the NFL level, and he beat Jim in the Super Bowl. But if I had to hire one of them right now to run my franchise, I think Jim's a better coach.
Maybe right now. But overall, so far, what we've seen of his, you know, in the NFL, the time in the NFL, it'd have to be Harbaugh.
I think it's two different questions. Who has the better resume and who's the better coach? I think Jim's a better coach.
For now.
John beat him in a Super Bowl, though. And John has a longer NFL resume. But speaking of what you just did, I think sometimes there's a little overcorrection going on with Mike Tomlin right now, and maybe a little bit too much heat on John Harbaugh. Like all of a sudden Harbaugh stinks and Tomlin, like the last 7 years didn't happen type thing. Mike Tomlin's having an awesome year. He's a legitimate coach of the year candidate, and he absolutely owns John Harbaugh right now. But this isn't college football. This isn't Ohio State, Michigan. The Steelers have owned the Ravens for 4 years running.
Mm-hmm.
Where's it gotten them? Nowhere. The Ravens have actually won a couple playoff games in the last 4 years.
Right.
The Steelers haven't come close to winning one in 7. So let's let the rest of this year play out before we start going too crazy here and making too much of the Steelers' dominance of the Ravens. It's nice. It's fun. It's great to hammer your rival, But it ain't Ohio State, Michigan. It's the NFL. The Steelers went 5-1 in the division and didn't win a playoff game. So what good is it, really? Win outside the division. Win in the playoffs. He has lately. Harbaugh's won a couple playoff games lately. Got to the AFC title game last year. So who's actually doing the better job around here? I would say him of late, myself. Tomlin needs to win a playoff game. At least come close. He hasn't come close since people entering middle school right now can remember. So, you know, there needs to be a finishing of the job here with Tomlin.
No question. I think both are in that. But I think both organizations realize that stability is a really good asset for a team in the NFL as opposed to constantly ripping, people in, out, changing coaches every 2-3 years. I mean, it doesn't work that way in most cases. In this case, they're knocking on the door just about every year, and you're right. It has to be, and I think Art Rooney said it this past offseason, it's time for playoff wins. I think if you're – and to use your philosophy about let's see this season play out, I would say the same about Jim Harbaugh. I want to see this season play out. They should have lost the game the other night at home after blowing a 27-6 lead. And if they had done that, they'd fall to 6-4, and people would be questioning what they are. So it's a long season. There's still a lot to be written and said, and I think we'll learn a lot more here in the next 3 weeks with the Steelers, all head-to-head AFC games. If North, if they beat Cleveland twice and lose to Cincinnati, they're still 10-3. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good record. You'd take a 10-3.
Yeah, what you said before, I might take a little bit of issue with, like the whole have one coach forever thing is a nice philosophy, but. Some teams do it differently. The Eagles are a great example of that.
They've done it twice. I get it.
They've gone from coach to coach to coach.
But you increase the chances of that not happening either. You can look at teams like Chicago and say to yourself, coach to coach to coach. You could look at teams like the Jets and say, coach to coach to
coach.
Sure,
bad organizations,
exactly.
Definitely. See, they can either stick with a coach or hire one every week. They're bad organizations, and that's the way it is.
One of the reasons why they're good organizations because they have stability at – the head coaching position, and it gets you an opportunity
right.
to be there every single year.
Yeah, I would think if you're a good organization that you would be able to switch coaches and have that work too.
You can, but you also run the risk of it not.
Sure. You also run the risk of keeping a guy too long. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
Let's see what happens in Buffalo season, for example.
Well, I think
there's nothing wrong with a good team switching coaches, by the way. A good team that can't get over the top going to a new head coach. I'll give you an example. Tony Dungy to John Gruden. Who got him over the top? Gruden.
No, I get it.
Another example is the Eagles. So while there is some value in stability, I don't make it the holy grail of NFL coaching is that you have to have the same guy.
And I agree with you. They have to win playoff games. Now is the time. It's been too long. And that's what it all comes down to. It's the mantra that they live by. It's what they believe. So you have to start doing it. But before you can do it, you have to be in position to get there. Last year they did, and they failed. When they've got there recently, they failed. This year, they're going to be in the playoffs. At 8-2, the chances of that happening are very, very much in their favor. But when they get there, they got to win games.
At least come close? Are you talking about the Steelers?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Steelers, yes.
At least come close to winning a
playoff game.
Because
most likely you're going to get a home playoff game here, too. And if you do, right now as it sets up, it's Pittsburgh-Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Now, if you're John Harbaugh... I do think John Harbaugh overthinks and overreacts to certain things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought he got out-coached when Mike Tomlin called a timeout on the two-point conversion. Whatever play they had in there originally was the play they probably should have continued to have. They seemed to change everything based on that timeout. And
absolutely. He absolutely is in John Harbaugh's head. And the Steelers own the Ravens. But like I said... Unfortunately, it's not college football. So where has that gotten them? Harbaugh and the Ravens made an unbelievable choice in the draft getting the right quarterback in Lamar. They got the right young quarterback. They've actually won a couple of playoff games lately. They've had, during the Steelers' streak of 7 years without a playoff win, seasons of 13, 11, 14, 10, 10 wins. They're doing better than the Steelers generally in recent history, Bob.
I know.
So the fact that the Steelers own them, like I said, is wonderful and fun. It's great in a rivalry. Let's have it add up to something this year.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Because there's 15 other games on the schedule plus playoffs. it really, I mean, it means something, but it really doesn't mean that much to own the Ravens. It really doesn't.
Well, if you're trying to win a division, it means a lot.
Not really. They were 5-1 in the division last year. Didn't win it.
I get that. But I still think you want to win your division first and foremost before you do anything else.
And that's
where it starts. And if you do that, you get a home playoff game. And then the next step is winning that game and taking it deeper and see what you got.
Agreed.
But I will say this about Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has a way of getting players that he wants here and to come in and buy into what he's doing. It's not easy to do that all the time. You see some of the bickering that goes on with some of these teams with their head coaches and owners.
I mean, there's also a way of players who come in here and feel like they were made promises that weren't kept and wind up blatantly quitting on the team.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes both ways. But, for example, this offseason, the Russell Wilson-Justin Fields combination coming here, I don't think at the beginning of this process I thought that was even possible. And for whatever reason, it did work for them. Now, what will it mean down the stretch? Russell Wilson has to be better, because even though his fourth quarter numbers are pretty good in the red zone, they are not compared.
See, what you just said is kind of what I'm talking about from recent Tomlin history. He did a great job, and I give him credit and Omar for completely blowing up the quarterback room. And I guess Art becomes involved, finally getting rid of the coordinator. But that doesn't erase the fact that Mike made a horrendous decision on Kenny Pickett and a horrendous decision on Matt Canada.
Yeah, and one ties into the other.
That basically cost the Steelers multiple years as their defensive stars get older. The fact they're off to an 8-2 start doesn't erase all that.
No, it doesn't.
I'm glad he finally, or you could say, you know, actually quickly abandoned that plan. Credit to him. But it doesn't take away the fact that those couple of years, the offense was an embarrassing disaster, mostly attributed to him.
Right, and he doubled down on keeping him after 2 years, heading into a third, and then that's when everything changed. So, yeah, that's all on his resume. I get it. But he's made a change, and they went after it. And again, I'd have to say most people wouldn't have expected that, but he did it because he saw it. It took him longer maybe than he should have, but he did. But I'm still waiting to see more from this offensive coordinator in terms of what's next. You can go and unlock George Pickens, fine. But they have other guys on that team that need to be more involved in this. You can't have, what were the other two? Austin, Jefferson, Mike Williams didn't even get a snap this week, but I'm not going to count him because he's relatively new. But the guys who were here had two catches. That was it out of the rest of them. You can't have that. The failure here in the offseason is not getting a legitimate number two and having to wait till the deadline to do it. So there are a lot of decisions that have to be made.
And we'll see if he is even a legit number two.
Well, that's what I mean.
He made a hell of a catch in Washington.
He's a veteran who knows how to do it, which is why I thought he might get a few more targets last week, and he got none.
The Freiermuth thing is a little bit baffling. We can agree on that, right?
Yes. He's too talented. And plus, they gave him a contract.
Do you think he is?
I do. I think he's very talented.
Okay.
But I think they have to utilize that talent more so than they are.
I do agree with that. Sometimes I wonder how talented he actually is. Like, is he...
Well, if you don't throw him the ball, you're never really going to know.
True. That's true. Ben seemed to make good use of him. And I was going to say, how often is he getting open? But he's also the type of guy that you should be able to throw to as a safety blanket when he's not wide open, right? Just by him sort of posting up, you know?
Yes. You know, they've utilized Darnell Washington more than Freiermuth to some degree this season. And that's fine, except that I'd rather have a guy who can, I think Freiermuth has more speed, can utilize it better in the middle of the field. Again, in the middle of the field is going to be, if I had to write a song right now, it'd be called In the Middle of the Field. In the middle of the field. But, you know, you got to go there.
Please cut that. Yeah, I agree with that. That's absolutely
true. It limits everything. If you're just going to go sideline to sideline, that's all. And that's, you got to do more than that.
However, we haven't been complaining too much since Russ two things. We haven't been complaining too much since Russ became the quarterback. I think it's been a good thing. I think that's pretty self-evident. And two, the Ravens defense, as Tomlin said during his news conference, and he wasn't blowing smoke, is way better than some of the numbers would indicate. I think they had a scheme issue. We had Rob Long, remember that, Limits, last week, who was on with us from the Fan in Baltimore. Who said that? They have a new coordinator. They just brought in Dean Pease to sort of oversee that operation. Bob, there's still a ton of talent there defensively. I think that's a good defense. They got monsters up front. They have two stars in Roquan and Kyle Hamilton. They've got good corners, I think. How they were last in the league against the pass is amazing to me. But go ask Josh Allen what they did to him when he went to Baltimore. And also, now you can ask Russell Wilson. I don't know what happened in multiple games to them.
Well, Tomlin's contention was it was garbage time, a lot of it. Went back and looked, and there was some truth to that, not all of it. I also think it's how you attack their defense. If you're going to just, and they know it, play it to, you know, sideline to sideline, that's it, nothing in the middle, and you make it a little easier for them. I want to see those guys challenged down the field more if I'm an offensive coordinator. I want to see what they do because they have committed a lot of penalties and they have committed a lot of yardage in those penalties.
That's true. I mean, my bet is that the Ravens the rest of this season will play pretty damn good defense.
But they're going to have to because their schedule is, you know, people talk about the Steelers' schedule. Look at their schedule.
And they also did challenge them, I thought. Calvin Austin had a ball go off his shoulder pad down the field early in the game. Russ gave Pickens two 50-50 balls in the end zone, at least two, threw a number of passes down the field to Pickens.
But there were a number of checkdowns, too.
I don't mind the checkdowns. In fact, on the broadcast, Davis said maybe some more checkdowns. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if Artie Smith went in there and said, Russ, you know,
lay
back on the moon balls a little bit and go with more of the checkdowns. I don't mind those to Warren and people like that.
But it can't be an overdose of it. And I thought in that game there was some of that. Maybe that was the coverage they were seeing. Maybe that there was nobody else open. Those are things you have to look at with an L-22 tape. I haven't totally looked at all that, but I'm going to just to make sure. But, again, if you look at the chart of where the passes go, you'll see most of them go to the outside.
Even the
Calvin Austin one was down is near a sideline.
For sure.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You see where Bart Scott took a shot at Patrick Queen last week and then Queen clapped back, Bob? You like that?
Yeah, I do. I like clapping back when it's something that, you know, he doesn't agree with, and that's the way you do it on social media.
Did you like Bart Scott when he played?
I thought he was a really good player, yeah. I mean, do I like him? I've never met him, so I don't know that. I just know he was a good player.
Well, not personally. I mean, did you like his demeanor, his personality?
Yeah, I think it reflected what they were trying to do. And, you know, the Steelers tried to match that. They did, and they often did better. Those were great matchups, man. I used to love the physicality of that. We see a lot of it today, not as much. Maybe over the line back then was tolerated. Now it isn't. But, you know, we saw some of that this week, some of the scuffles that went on.
That was an old school football game.
You know who
that
I really like
stuff.
More and more?
Who?
Is Mason McCormick.
Love his attitude,
he right? He's one of those guys that – he is a brawler. He's out there, and he's second layer. You watch him, he pulls a lot, and when he does, he goes after more than one person. He's wearing 66, which is an interesting number for him to wear there. But, you know, he's as a young kid who I don't think was expected to play, if James Daniels wasn't hurt, he wouldn't be playing. Man, he's really done a very good job.
Well, Bart Scott went a little far calling Patrick Queen a Judas because he went to – the Steelers? I mean, the Ravens didn't want him
back. They didn't
back.
Offer him.
What's he supposed to do? Exactly.
Yeah, what's he supposed to say? I'll take whatever just because I'm a Raven? No,
it's like when James Harrison went to the Patriots. The Steelers weren't using him, and they let him go. So what are you supposed to do then? Now, his final year, I don't think that he exactly behaved in a professional way.
Right.
And having said that, once they cut him, you're allowed to go anywhere you want to make a living, right? This seems to be a perfect team for Patrick Queen.
Yeah, and the Steelers recognized that talent. That's why they went after him. And you had to know that that was going to be a possibility, given the inside linebacking problems the Steelers have had all. And Mike Tomlin always has said really good things about him. Together with Roquan Smith, those two were very good. So he had a chance to get here and solve one of their big problems. Why wouldn't it be a possibility? So no Judas.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
How about that? I was a little surprised he came out so heavily with that one.
That was pretty good.
And he didn't hesitate either. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
That was Tomlin. And Patrick Queen went right back at Bart Scott and basically said that he has the same stats in year five that it took Bart Scott 12 years to get. That was a great line, Bob. Did you like that?
And I thought he made his impact on this game. I mean, that play at the end of the first half was significant.
Here's another thing that's happening is the contributors from the past two drafts in this game. And Fotanu, we've barely seen the guy. Zach Freight, look at these last two drafts right now. I think every guy has contributed in some way, somehow, even as a depth piece. But look at what happened on Sunday and what's been happening with some of these guys. Zach Frazier might be a top five center in the whole league right now. Peyton Wilson makes one of the greatest interceptions in the history of the rivalry. I mean, it was ridiculous. Mason McCormick, you just mentioned him, Bob. Joey Porter Jr. had a fabulous game, made the game-winning play. Keanu Benton has become a solid starter, I think still with star potential. Mount Washington, despite not jumping for a ball, had a big catch. He's a good blocker. He's become a pretty good player. Nick Herbig was awesome in the game. And then you have Corey Trice and Spencer Anderson. They've gotten like 10 players, the top three or four or five of whom are going to be high-impact players.
Absolutely.
These two drafts are spectacular, it looks like.
And this is while drafting late in the first round. It doesn't even impact first round. It goes well beyond that, right? And you didn't mention Roman Wilson, who hopefully will have some sort of role in this down the road.
Yeah, or Broderick Jones, who had a tough game, but he had a great game against Washington. That was the best game of his career.
He didn't allow any kind of pressures.
No pressures.
Game.
No pressures at all. Do you belong to PFF limits? Why not?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think somebody here does.
Could Bob pitch in maybe and help you belong to
yes,
that?
Yes. If that's the case, then yes.
I think somebody needs to because I'm interested. PFF's numbers, at least according to some headlines I read, had Herbig with a bad game. How do you figure that, Bob?
Yeah, I don't know. Some of those numbers are a little questionable. Like they have Russell Wilson ranked really low in among starting quarterbacks. And I get some of the rationale, but, you know, when you're going to use stuff like turnover-worthy throws, I get it. I understand what that means.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't necessarily reflect the entire play in which it happens. So, you know, it's a metric. It's a good metric. They've been very popular. But
I think some of the
there
stuff
are some of it I disagree
great.
With. Some of it is good.
Yeah.
I don't see how Herbig had a bad game. I don't know what they were expecting. He hadn't played in how long.
Well, not only that,
he made a key play. How much do you get a lot of credit for that? Because I would give him a ton of credit for that play.
He was impactful on the 2-point conversion. He also got the game off to a great start, and he also had other pressures. Did he not during the game, or was I seeing things?
No, he did. I don't know if they, you know.
I'm sorry.
Against the run, he still has things that he
maybe,
has to figure out.
But when did they run the ball that much? Did he?
They
get,
didn't.
Did
how
he, did
how
he
about
maybe
coaching
get...
malpractice? We use that terminology. How's Derrick Henry have no carries in the fourth quarter
Incredible.
Of a game that was that tight?
How's he not on the field for a 2-point conversion?
Another reason. I don't know what happened on that play. I'd like to really know what they were doing because it did not look like they had any. There were no receivers. He's rolling left. Don't you have to give him options? The Steelers got in their heads there. I don't think there's any question.
Tomlin got in Harbaugh's head. There's no question about it. Why not just hand the ball to Derrick Henry?
Or
at least use him as a decoy and then, like, here's a play with three options on it. Stick the ball in Henry's stomach, make it a read option.
Play action to him.
With a receiver available. They gave themselves, I think they screwed up the play.
Well,
but Charles Davis said it on the air. He said, I think there's supposed to be a receiver in this play. And there wasn't one.
And there's no Henry. Henry is you have to account
for. Or Flowers.
And I don't know what they were doing. And for him to roll left with no option other than for him to get in the end zone, there was no way he was going to do it.
There's no doubt they were in their heads.
It was a terrible play, and it was a very well-diagnosed situation by the Steelers.
Nice play by Herbig. Great play by Porter. And then just idiocy. How could you? He doesn't even like to roll that way, does he? Who does?
No, I don't.
Who's a right-handed quarterback who likes to roll?
Normally he goes the other way, right?
Yeah.
So that didn't make any sense to me. I thought that you brought up the Peyton Wilson play. I think, you know, they were talking about that. And Mike Tomlin yesterday told me before, he said, we had Justice Hill is prominent in those plays. When he's in there, that's like what. And so they knew their only linebacker who can get back with him was him, the rookie.
Yeah.
And he did. I never would have thought he had that ball, though, man. But
Do you think he did? Do you think he knew it was legit?
Yes, he did. You didn't think it was legit?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm asking you if you did.
No, absolutely. I mean, he ripped it right away from him.
Can you believe this limit?
Tension sparking early in the second hour.
No tensions.
Early in the history of the Pomp and Joe show, tensions are sparking. I still look at it and I wonder what the hell happened, but I think in the end it was Justice Hill didn't complete the catch. Therefore, when the ball became up for grabs, it was a new situation. Like, okay, now who's going to make the catch? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it didn't look that way when it was happening. It looked like Hill had it, but he had, because Wilson got back there, he lodged it loose mid-air flight, right? And you didn't see that. It didn't pop up in the air. It was just loose, and he corralled it himself.
Do you remember Devin Bush making an interception like that?
Same against the Ravens.
Was it
a tight end?
Did it count? I can't remember.
I remember the play.
I think it counted but shouldn't have or something like that, but it was very similar. It might have even been on Andrews.
Andrews or some other tight end they had. It was a big body person it took it right away from him before the ball ever got to the ground.
Very similar play. Yep. Did you know that Devin Bush is playing regularly for the Browns, Bob?
Yeah, that's not a good sign, is it?
And that he leads them in tackles
over
the last 2 weeks?
That's not a good sign, is it?
That he even had a sack and some tackles for
loss? That's not a good
sign,
is it?
But no, because they gave up 214 yards rushing
and 35 points. How do you let Taysom Hill rush for 137 yards on 7 carries?
This is a game, and this is what I mean. This is what I mean earlier, is if Russ, again, is sort of, you know, isn't dynamic, let's put it that way. Maybe they only score a touchdown and 4 field goals, which would be what? 12 and 7, 19 points, and they win 19-17. I don't feel like this is a legitimate game to get upset about if they win. I just feel like it's survive in advance. I feel like Thursday night football is ridiculous.
I think it's sloppy generally because these two teams, who no matter who they are, there's a lot of penalties. I looked at a graphic, and I forget which site had it. Most penalties in games are normally on Thursday night combined, both teams.
It's just because they
don't do enough to get ready for those games.
Plus, there's a history of Ravens Steelers when they pound each other senseless. In their next games, they underperform. I just want them to sort of batten down the hatches here, get a little bit conservative, and run the ball against this defense. And then let Jameis Winston hand them the game, which he will sooner or later. Right, Bob?
You think there are times when he throws 3 touchdowns, no picks. There are other times he throws no touchdowns and 3 picks. You don't know where you're really going to get with him.
I don't think you're going to get much, honestly.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Dorian Thompson-Robinson in this game at some point.
If you lose twice to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, there's an NFL rule that you have to fold your franchise. I didn't even know he was still there.
Well, once they, you know, they had him there because of Flacco's departure. They weren't interested in him. Although Flacco, the more he plays now, the more he's turning into an interception machine, which has always been part of his game. But, man, they went back to Richardson and Indy, and they should have.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's the newly christened Pomp and Joe Show. What does that mean, you're wondering, as you're driving around? Is Pomp still going to be on TV? Of course he is. Everything's the same in Pomp's career. He's already on the station twice a week. Now it'll be 3 times a week or thereabouts, right, Bob?
Or thereabouts, depending on schedules.
Yeah, here and there. enough to call it the Pomp and Joe Show. I'll tell you that much. And we're very, very excited about that. And it's all started today. Bob's excited. I'm excited. City Limits is beside himself with joy. Is that accurate?
Beside himself with joy?
Yes.
Hasn't gone that far.
Doesn't that contradict itself?
What do you mean?
I've had a lot of joy.
What do you think beside himself implies? That's a saying.
That I'm sad with joy?
No, no, no. You're overjoyed.
Yes, I am very overjoyed.
Yeah, I thought so. You can't be very overjoyed, Bob. That's redundant, wouldn't you think?
Not necessarily. It gets the point across, doesn't it? Regardless if it's redundant, it gets the point across.
Do you know that Bob has nutcrackers in his house?
No, I did not. Are they like actual nutcrackers or the ones that are Christmas decorations?
Bob,
no,
they're nutcrackers.
Yeah, just if you like to crack nuts.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Around this time of year?
Do it yourself.
It's do it yourself nutcrackers.
It's the only thing I do for
Bob,
myself.
Bob, what kind of nuts do you crack? Like hazelnuts? Walnuts?
Walnuts. Yeah.
Now, Bob.
I like hazelnuts. I like all kinds of nuts.
I have a walnut tree in the front yard of our house.
What?
And the walnuts fall like crazy.
He can bring over fresh nuts, Bob.
Well, they've all fallen by now, but would you take those types of walnuts?
No.
Why?
Because I don't know where they came from. I don't know.
The tree in front of my house.
Okay, fine. But that's not the kind of tree I'm looking for.
You don't trust his nuts.
I don't trust his nuts, no.
That hurts, huh?
They're good nuts right in front of the tree.
Coming up, Jay Caulfield. The Penguins have a couple of issues, or maybe 100 of them. We'll talk. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Then Bob and I are going to take a trip around the NFL from Sunday. I never got a chance to do that yesterday with the Batconian Mongoose. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. I still can't believe I got into a dispute with him yesterday, Bob. It was unbelievable. He seems very mild-mannered, doesn't he?
Who are we talking about?
Brian Batco.
The Mongol? What did you call him?
It's beside the point. The Batconian Mongoose.
Yeah, you know, Brian's really straight shooter. What was the dispute nature of it?
I can't. It was about another media person, and it was very odd, I have to say. Mm. But we talked it out.
Good.
We talked it out, and I think it was
healthy. I think everything needs to end that way, no matter what the dispute going on, has to end that way.
Do you and your wife ever go to bed angry at each other?
No. Never.
We do every night. No. That's my wife, pretty much. Even if she's not saying it, this is what she's thinking every night by the end of the night. Yeah.
Because you're talking golf
Who
in
takes
your
out the garbage? Let me take my glasses off. This is the type of thing that bugs me, Bob. And I feel helpless. We did our garbage a certain way for 15 years, okay, in our house. Mm-hmm. When it's full, I wrap it up and put it in the garage, which I can do from indoors, okay? Mm-hmm. So by the end of the week, you have like 5-6 garbage bags down there, correct?
Yes.
And then I put them in a big bag or two big bags and take them out. She decided that she didn't want the garbage in the garage anymore. Just suddenly decided after 15 years. So now she wants to take the garbage all the way outside and into the backyard and put it in a garbage can. I didn't even need a garbage can all these years. So now there's this whole production with the garbage. So I got resentful and said, if that's how you want to do it, then just you can go ahead and do it. And so she does the garbage every week. Should I just let this go and bring it outside?
And it's also your tone.
I know.
You can't.
Well, what about
push
her
that
tone?
Back. You can't push that back.
Listen to this. This is her. Yeah.
She has every right to call you an idiot, but you cannot respond that way. Just, honey, if that's what you want, go right ahead. Be my guest.
Well, that's sort of what I said. I said, you know, I mean, why can't we still put it in the garage? I don't want it in the garage anymore. Well, why? Now we have to go outside. I don't want to go outside.
With Lisa. I told her, as I've told you before, I don't do anything. And I told her that before we got married. I said, please do not expect a handyman. You're not getting that.
Do you take out the garbage?
No.
Who does?
She does.
Say, hey, what are you doing?
She does.
Wait a second, Limits. There's two men sitting here who don't take out the garbage at their own house. Their wives do.
I take out the garbage in my house.
Yeah, but you have a whole family there. You're the kid.
Yeah, but I take it out.
Do you know assembly required does not apply to me? I freak out. I can't do it. She does it. She's very good at putting things together. So when we get assembly required, she does it.
Yeah, I can't put anything
together. Plumbing issues? Call Lisa.
I think my wife is ashamed of me in that way, what you just described. I can't fix or do anything. And her dad was like...
That's how my dad was. And as a result, I never did anything.
He could have had his own show. He was like, Mr. Fix-It. He could build a house.
You know, some people go to YouTube. She's done that. Gone to YouTube and figure things out. I just don't have the patience to do it.
I can't even plunge a toilet. No, when there's a toilet problem, I'm useless. I'm useless all the way around.
Me too. But she knew that going in, so I made it very clear that's how it is. And she understands that, and I understand that.
I don't want to walk outside to do the garbage. It doesn't make sense to me. What do you think I should do in that situation?
Let her do it.
Okay.
It's the way she wants it done, so that's fine.
I know, but then there's the old, why aren't you doing this? It's implied in each one.
Well, then
one
all
her,
you have to do is say,
one.
But you preferred it the other way, so
well,
I
you know, that
to
leads to a fight, and then it ends up with Ann, again, yelling. It ends up with that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.